Okay, so they do a bunch of...
I mean, we do Easter in the sense that we set it aside as a day to recognize the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. So I was just going to say, so they a lot of people celebrate Good Friday to Easter Sunday morning.
And we don't do that.
And he's not a liar. He 3 days and three nights he said he'd be in the grave. Yeah. Friday night to Sunday morning doesn't work. Okay. And then Sunday resurrection, that's a Roman Catholic tradition. It's not evangelical. And here's the big danger that I think of keeping Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, we're to proclaim his death till he comes. And it's supposed to be like a ongoing, nonstop thing of our life. And what happens is it trains you to like really focus more on that day, and the rest of the year, you people kind of let down about it. And it's really...
We have our Easter Christmas crowd.
And so it's supposed to... See, here's the thing. It's supposed to be, if we're following Christ, if we're born of Christ by the gospel, and let me just share the... It's on my card, but I want to share the gospel with you real quick. So the gospel in America, if people say, why are you traveling in America? I said, well, God put me here. And they said, well, we're already a Christian nation. And I said, you have no clue what you're talking about. We're not a Christian nation. We're a pagan, far post-Christian nation. We're paganized. America is Babylon and Sodom and Gomorrah.
That
includes the religious church systems.
Yeah, you wouldn't get an argument for
that. Yeah, so what I preach when
we home-churched for a very, very long time.
I'm glad you do that. I'm glad you homeschool too. I preach the biblical gospel that is Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, fully man, fully God. He came into the world to seek that which was lost, to save sinners. He showed us who God was. He showed us how to follow God, and he showed us the narrow way. So a lot of people stop at that, and they say, well, put your faith in Christ, just believe, and you're guaranteed you're going to heaven no matter what.
No, 1, 2, 3, pray with me.
Yep, the Bible says you must repent and change your mind and your ways to follow after Christ. John 10, Jesus said, I am the way, my sheep follow me. That's a verb. That's an action. You don't just get there believing. Believing means following. So faith and repentance. Then I'm sure you agree. The Bible says you'll be born again by the Spirit of God. I used to be a drunk and a worldly fighter and partier. My wife was the same thing, a drunk and very worldly woman. She tells people all the time. She dressed like a harlot. She was worldly. When we focused on the things of God and we said, oh my, everything we're doing is wrong and what God says we should be doing, we're not doing.
What brought you to that point?
We repented. Long story, you can listen to my testimony on my website sometime. I was lost in the world, grew up in a pagan, backslidden Roman Catholic house. And I saw the world as hopeless, meaningless, and ready for destruction until I was 18. Someone loosely told me about Jesus Christ, but it wasn't the biblical gospel. But they told me about Christ and the Word of God, and that struck in me. It was God tore me at the heart, but...
Planted a seed.
But because I wasn't biblically ready to repent and give up my life and the world, and no one called me to biblical discipleship, come out of the world, lose your passions and your desires and your idolatrous hunting and fishing and television and sports, lose all that to come follow Jesus, I thought I could do both. And I was a false convert. And so I went back into the world, and I got burnt by modern pastors, men that said they were godly, but they ended up being adulterers, liars, cheats. And so not their fault, my fault. I will be judged for my sin, but they stumbled me. Just like if these young boys thought I was a godly man and they knew me well and I went out and sinned, I would stumble them, their faith.
Absolutely.
They would say, oh my, we thought Brother James was godly. He ran off with another woman. I stumbled them.
Yeah.
They're going to be accountable for themselves, but I didn't help. Millstone around your neck.
Yeah,
and stuff. So when I was 45, I went into the world, I worked and went into the business world. When I was 45, I saw the futility of life and I said, Lord, he put a call in my heart from 18, but because I wasn't biblically discipled, I didn't seek after him. A couple times I went to evangelical Sunday church for a while. At 45, I said, I'm done running. And I said, I'm yours, whatever you want. And the first person I ever witnessed the gospel to, my wife.
Hmm.
Received it and became born again.
Amen.
That's a miracle. You could line up 10,000 people, and I do it every year, and witness to them, and not one of them will come and be born again.
Fair enough. See it happen.
It's crazy. When Jesus says few, he means few. Yep. So I surrendered at age 45. That was, 15 years ago. And I began to slowly train, become a Berean. We started a blog, which turned into a website. My job, I was a career salesman, eventually spit me out because I just didn't fit in the drinking, the party, and the lying, the twisting of truth. And so I said, well, the Lord spit me out of that job. They fired me, not for my performance, but because of my faith. And I said, well, either start a business or do something. I'm too young to retire, I think. We started a wood carving business, and then we met some people. We moved down here to maybe be centrally located. The rest of it is history. But what it comes down to is we followed the gospel, faith in Christ. We repented. We were born again. And this is the part that people really stumble over. Holiness and obedience are the fruit that drove God. And holiness is to obey God's word. Okay? And holiness is to come out of the culture. And I think everybody would agree with that. But the problem is churchianity doesn't go far enough. They don't come out of like politics. This is corrupt and vain and idolatrous.
It is.
They don't come out of the sporting world. They'll take their kids and teach them football and soccer and go watch it. This is carnal.
It happens even at our church.
This is carnal world. You see, that's what I'm saying. This is, and if your children see that, they're going to go, Daddy, how come we follow Jesus and we don't do that, but other people get to do that? Holiness, come out of the world, come out of the culture.
I just pointed out.
But still, it's...
I don't just point it out. You got to understand something about me. I'm kind of the rejected.
Right, I understand. And so what
So here's the thing. I
want to put seeds. Can I finish my part
yes,
first?
Yes, sir.
I want to put some seeds in you that you can think about and maybe will cause you to ponder and test me to the Word of God about it. The Bible calls us to holiness and obedience. Hebrews 5:9 says, Christ made the way for those who obey Him. And that means keeping His Word and ways. And He said, my sheep are not of this world. So anything that's of the world system. And I don't know what you do, so I'm not judging you. I'm just making a statement. Anything that's of the world system, politics, entertainment.
Technology.
Churchianity. No, now see, now let's go there. Now, I got an iPhone.
Yeah, you got it.
But it's not sinful because I use it for God's glory. It's not violent. It's not wicked. I vet everything out. All I do on it is my website. I email disciple other saints. I sell stuff. God tells us to do all those things. He doesn't tell us to sit in a stadium and watch sporting events where they're violently knocking each other down in immodesty and covetousness.
Right.
So this truck, this technology. Yeah, I get. Do you have any Anabaptists near you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I deal with we're not Anabaptists. If you saw my wife, she's head covered. That's another thing the Bible teaches that nobody wants to do. Biblically dressed, head covered. The Bible teaches that, and I cover that on my website.
Well, do you believe there's separation, things that of the blood and things that are of honoring and respecting God?
Do I what?
Do you believe there's a separation of things that are of the blood, meaning things that are a blood issue, things that have to do with salvation specifically, and things that are of honoring God?
No, I don't see. You're talking about essentials and non-essentials.
I'm saying that, no, because I know there's a lot of people around me that head cover.
Right.
Okay.
But they're worldly, or
they're Mennonites. And
they're not biblical.
I know they're not.
They're not.
And I've had conversations.
They're carnal, they're worldly, they don't have the gospel, they're dead spiritually.
But their head covering is just another god to them.
Well, it can be. But think about that. Your Sunday church can become a god, but
absolutely.
You do it. Christmas and Easter can become an idol.
See,
you do it.
My church isn't my authority.
No, I know that. The Word of God is.
Absolutely.
So what I'm saying is the Word of God says it's shameful for a woman to pray with her head uncovered. And I don't want to get into that topic too deep, but it's what it says.
Understand.
And all of the godly men taught it all the way up until 150 years ago when feminism rose up.
Oh, I know.
All your evangelical
point,
heroes.
You won't find a church, you won't find any kind of a gathering, I'll go there, any kind of a gathering of times past where a lady didn't at least, you know, they modified it.
They wore long flowing robes. That's what 1 Timothy 2 says,
sure.
Wear a long flowing robe, and they covered their heads. Feminism rose up, and the pastors all backed down, and the women took off their head coverings, threw their bras away, put on pants, and lived just like the world. And let's not let the men off the hook. The Bible also goes all the way back in Genesis 3. You want to talk about blood covering? I teach on this. I just preached the gospel to you. Faith, repentance, being born again, holiness and obedience, and you must endure. I don't know what kind of Baptist you are, but some of the Baptists say you believe and you can't lose your salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. You can lose your marriage if you don't endure. If you had a job, you can lose your job. You can lose everything that you must endure in. Salvation is the same way. Jesus said, endure to the end, you'll be saved. He said, if you don't forgive your brother, you won't be forgiven. So you must endure. Once saved, always saved is an absolute lie. But I want to go back to the man thing. So we teach on women's head covering and women's dress. Go back to Genesis 3:21. I love to teach this, and I just preach the gospel to you first. Genesis 3:21, you're talking about blood. Adam and Eve sin. Right after God ordained marriage, and I know you're married to one woman, so you believe in marriage. Right after God ordained marriage, Adam and Eve sin and fall. They cover themselves with little fig leaves.
Yeah.
Leaves. And God says, it's not enough. What did God do? Do you know?
Set them out of the garden.
And then what did He do to cover them? This is beautiful. People don't know this.
Skins.
He sheds blood.
Yeah.
He kills an animal, sheds blood. It's an archetype of Jesus to come. That's not our covering, but it's an archetype. Like the ark that Noah built was an archetype of Jesus. We got to get in Jesus to be floated above the wrath of God. He put us in tunic-like garments.
Yeah.
He did. And it never changed from the priests, all the temple men. It never changed from the prophets. Jesus wore one. Paul wore one. So my point is, that's just another part of holiness. These are not non-essentials. These are all part of our salvation, faith to obey. In Acts 5, God kills a husband and a wife because they lied and didn't obey. That's pretty essential. He kills them. It takes their life from them. So we teach people that all of God's word is to be obeyed. Now, we don't work our way to heaven. You never could. You're not perfect enough. Neither am I. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. But here's the problem. If you have the Spirit of God in you, and if you have the perfect covering of Christ covering you, the fruit, the Bible tells us, is goodness, righteousness, and truth. The Holy Spirit does not keep you in the world. He does not keep you in immodesty or unbiblical dress. He does not keep you in false religious churchianity. The Holy Spirit moves you out of that. So it's the fruit. So if you have a wife and you say, James, I have a wife. And I go, really? Are you a good husband? And you go, yeah, I think I am. And I find out you beat her, you cheat on her. What are you called? A hypocrite and a liar.
Sure.
If we say we love God, and we say we're set on eternity, but we're not fully obeying his word as his bride, keeping all of his ways, walking in holiness, and Paul says, be blameless, be spotless, be pure, we're liars. 1 John says, if we claim him, but we don't walk in all truth, we lie. We do not keep the truth. So I'm not trying to say I know you. What I'm saying is I encourage people when I meet them that claim a faith in Christ, go much deeper.
So I will do this.
Sunday church takes you very, very shallow.
Absolutely.
And you must go deeper and become a Berean. And I want I've been talking. I'm a street preacher. I talk a lot. One last thing. 1 Timothy 4:16.
I'm okay with that.
1 Timothy 4:16. Paul says, hold to sound doctrine, strive and remain in it. By doing so, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. Yeah. Doctrine, instruction, those things that the Baptists say, some of them, I don't know about yours, the things that people say aren't essential, they are essential because you not hitting your wife is essential to being a good godly man.
It's one example, yes.
Me being a godly man is how I dress, how I talk, how I act, who I associate with, what I do, and I'll just be, and I'm done right here, and then I want you to share. I will not set foot in a churchianity place for unity's sake. I will go, I will preach the gospel. I don't interrupt your services, but I would stand outside with a gospel sign and talk to men like you. What are you doing here? And we go, well, we're coming to call you out of this lukewarm, worldly, compromised, false religious body because we love you. And that's what we do, and we do, we're fair. We go to Roman Catholics, we go to Mormons, we go to Baptists, we go to Lutherans.
Well, at least you're equal opportunity.
We're very, very fair-minded, and that's my call to people. If you're of the world, my call is repent. Come to Christ, follow him in holiness. To the people in church, I say, you haven't gone deep enough and far enough. You must come out. And here's the last thing. Romans 16, 17 says, mark those who do not teach sound doctrine and avoid them. So you can't even unite with people in a building that aren't keeping full sound doctrine as you grow and learn it because you're teaching your children compromise. You're teaching them that it's okay to unite to people that don't take the things of God serious and to be holy. Which the Bible says without it, Jason, right?
Yes.
Without it, you won't find God. You won't see God. To be holy is to be set apart. And that's my call. So thank you for listening. What you wanted to share?
No, actually, you hit a lot of things on the head.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with that. Time is of the essence, so I can't stick around too long, but I want to be respectful of it.
Yeah.
I already got into some of your content
Good.
Online. I'll do some more digging.
Yeah, I got thousands of articles, and I boast in Christ because he's given me the ability. It's not my truth, it's his truth.
Absolutely.
My wife has a sister's blog, if you vet it out, and it would encourage your wife.
I saw that as well.
We have street preaching videos, all for free. We don't take people's money. It's another thing. The shameful selling of the things of God.
I don't disagree.
I don't care if it's
either.
A tithe, a book. I get passionate about this. Jesus made a whip. In John 2.
No, drove him out of the temple.
And they say, well, that was the temple. Jason, who's the temple today?
I'm with you. I don't disagree.
So all of these things, pick them apart. The Father never ordained Christmas and Easter.
I guess one area we probably separate or differ on is that we do still go to a church. And we have home church. We've done both. We've gone back and forth on different things because we struggle with it. And then we do practice modesty as far as my daughters and my wife.
Yeah. But go deeper. The word modest, 1 Timothy 2:9.
They don't wear pants.
But hold on. 1 Timothy 2:9, the word modest apparel. Do you know what? Do you look at the Greek and such?
We do. I mean, I use a concordance. And go back and
the Greek means, don't use them for their commentaries because they'll deceive you. Use them just for the Greek.
I don't even have one with
the commentaries. Good. Just use them for the Greek and the Hebrew. If you look up the word.
Strong's concordance.
That's what I use. If you look up modest apparel, what does that mean? I mean, do you know in the turn of the century, modest was a woman not showing her calf off. Now, women are wearing yoga pants. You can see every... It's modest apparel.
One of the reasons I won't work at the university.
Okay, so hold on. That's what it means.
I can't even be up there.
Yeah. Modest apparel means long and flowing robe. Not shorts, not pants, and that's full time. Not just when you're in church. That's at all times. And then the Bible says don't adorn yourself. So you see the Mennonite women wearing tablecloths full of color and their skin tight.
Some.
Many of them do.
Yeah.
And so.
It depends.
And again, men are supposed to be the example. So that's what I always say. If women can't show their body parts off.
Neither should we.
Men should neither.
Yeah, and we do tend to lax in that area.
We should. Yep. We should be covering ourselves. So, and this is important because it's our temple. It's what God required. It's what God did. It was the fourth thing he did when mankind fell.
Irony is I've spent a lot of time in the Middle East. And of course there you wouldn't catch a man not covering their anything, you know, wearing basically.
They got stuff right.
Noticed.
Now, when people talk about Muslims, they'll see my wife covered. And when we street preaching, they'll say, you're forcing your wife to head cover. That's a Muslim tradition. And I go, first of all, sir, the Bible says you should not speak
your
of
history.
The Bible says don't speak of what you know not. I said, many years ago in our first year, my wife found head covering before I ever found it, and she started covering her head, and I learned about it and said, I agree with you.
I assume it's not a hanky.
No, it's an actual head covering. It covers her hair, and she doesn't put her hair down for anybody but me. You know, no man should see a woman's head. It's her glory.
I like that.
And I said, do you know when the Muslim faith come along, sir? Yeah, I know all about the Bible. And I said, well, first of all, where is 1 Corinthians? Where is head covering in the Bible? They don't know. It's 1 Corinthians 11.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, that's a Muslim tradition. I said,
no,
do you know?
Muslims carried on.
Do you know Muhammad came along 800 years after Paul penned 1 Corinthians 11? So they have some things right. The Muslims stole a lot of stuff from Scripture.
Well, that's just it. They carried on their traditions.
They believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Absolutely.
But the problem is that it was perverted by Islam, so by Muhammad. But that's the key. I encourage churchianity people to go deeper. And if the people you are fellowshipping with, if they don't want the fullness and the whole truth of God and they don't want holiness, the Bible says you cannot continue with them. That's what being holy is to
you
be separated.
You run into a time, though, when you're fully separated.
I'm sorry?
Do you run into a point where you're fully separated?
You have to be. To be holy means to be fully separated.
But then to whom are you evangelizing? I mean, who are you winning?
What do you mean? You go out in the world and you preach the gospel. In Acts 2, see, this is a big mistake everybody makes. Baptists say they soul win. Now, we're going out soul winning. You don't win anybody's soul. Yeah. I don't win anybody's soul. Go read Acts 2.
Best you're a good salesman.
Go read Acts 2. You know what it says? God added to the bodies
that's
he suffered.
Right. I don't disagree with that either.
Go read Matthew 16. Jesus said, I will build my
you
body upon this rock.
Any man who thinks he's going out to do anything.
So here's the thing. You just said it. Your job is your personal faith, number one. Then your next job is your wife and your children. Then your third job is to be a light to the world. And it don't matter if you just lead your wife and children in things of God and you never bring anyone else. You're a Noah in your generation. God will call you to that. The numbers game, the having fellowship, that's all a sellout. And I know what you're thinking. We meet people all the time and they go, well, we got children. How are they going to find husbands and wives and all that stuff? And we go, aren't you fearful for their soul first? They might never get married. Your young boys might get on fire for Christ. They may never find a godly wife and live their whole life celibate and do it unto Christ. Paul says that's the best way.
Absolutely.
That's the best way. If my wife dies, I will never get married. Marriage is wonderful. I would miss her like crazy. But if my wife dies at this stage, I'm going to serve God alone, full time. So my point is, who will you evangelize? You find a ministry. You go out into the world. Sure. You witness the people around you. You become a shining light. People come up to me all the time. I kind of look different now, but I wear a long, you saw in the preaching videos, I wear a long shirt. People come up to me all the time and they go, what about you? Are you a Muslim? And I said, oh, let me tell you about the Most High. And I preach Christ to them and they go, why do you look like that? And I said, do you know this is how all the biblical saints in the Bible dressed? They covered their temples. We weren't showing our body parts off. And they're like, I never knew this. I said, they're not going to teach you this because it doesn't fill up buildings. It empties buildings.
This is true.
So when you say that, ponder that.
Yes,
what is your job? What is your ultimate role? It's not to have fellowship. That's people that meet in Sunday churches and compromise with a bunch of people that keep sin. This is fellowship idolatry. God says, serve me first and most. And what we do, we Bible study with people long distance. We go and we encourage people. I'll go and preach at their house church. I'll encourage them. I'll take men out and show them how to street evangelize. You become the body of Christ. You already got a body.
Do you know anyone in this area around local that does home church?
Not know? Around here.
Really?
No. Do you know how few is? 2,000, or excuse me, two men came out of 600,000 men in Israel to go into the Holy Land. Only three came out of maybe 20 or 30,000 in Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you understand how few is?
Oh,
you look at the building of 100 Baptists, if one makes it into the kingdom of God, I'll be surprised. Jesus said in Luke 18, will there be any faith left on earth when the Son of Man returns?
It's a reality, isn't it?
So when I go out, I can preach to 10,000 people at an event. I want to share something with you. I go and I preach to thousands of people in a day at a big event. And I will purposely, I get constantly new people coming by. And I will purposely march back and forth and say, I'm here to lift up Jesus Christ. And people look and I go, I have a question. Americans, believe me or not, like me or not, who fears God? Does anyone fear God in America? There could be 1,000 people standing in front of me. Rarely.
Does anyone speak?
Does anyone raise their hand even? Mm. Every once in a while I get little ones like yours and they go, I do, preacher. America has been sold on the love of God. They've lost the wrath of God. They've lost the judgment of God. They've lost the holiness of God.
All
they've lost the truth
heaven.
Of God.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I'm at war.
Yeah.
With churchianity and the world. I love them. I love you. I love your pastor. But most of them, when I approach them to talk, Jason,
they get standoffish.
They run away and hide. Do you know why?
Because they would attack everything they believe in.
They can't give an answer in God's word. I'm holding up my phone because I use a Strong's and I use a Bible app.
Yeah, I do too.
They can't give an answer in God's word about the biblical gospel, about holiness, about coming out of the culture. And any preacher that is honest, he goes, if I preach like you, I'll empty this building out. And I said, you need to empty your building out, preacher.
Not your building.
Preach righteousness. Preach truth. So I hope I planted some seeds in truth for you. You're gracious to listen. Go deeper, because you're going to be judged by the Word of God, not traditions.
I do appreciate it.
Yes, not traditions. And my website is there to help you. Hey. And if you ever have any questions, and here's my challenge.
Can I at least shake your hand?
Of course. Man, I'll give you a hug. I love you, man. I love you. Hey,
keep it up.
Here's my challenge to you. Read my website.
Leave his wood, guys.
read my website. Test me to the Word of God. And if you ever find anything that you go, man, this guy's way off,
I'll message you.
You call me. You email me. You text me. Hey, if I'm still in town, I'll come visit you. We'll sit. We'll have lunch in the park. I love to be tested the Word of God. I'm testable.
Iron.
I'm teachable. I'll give an answer.
Modern pastors won't. Yeah. No, I believe in iron sharpened with iron.
Yeah. So let me know. I can help you in the faith.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Have a joyous day. It was nice meeting you, young men. Thank you for all the help. Bye. Have a joyous day. God be praised.